Hey there, welcome to this episode of the Podcast Manager Show. Today, we are chatting with DR Faye on her success story and how she has built her podcast management business. From being in the entertainment world to then having many years of experience in customer service, DR had a moment where she decided, I need something different. And that was the starting point of her podcast management business. It has now been years since she first began, and she's going to take us through how she landed her first client and how she's been able to continue to learn about podcast management, taking her time to build her successful podcast management business. I know that you're going to get some really great tangible tips out of this episode. DR is so generous when it comes to her knowledge. She just shares anything that she has to give to anyone else. So I cannot wait for you to dive in. Let's go talk to DR. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. DR, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I have been listening to these success stories for so long that I cannot believe that I'm actually here.
I could have interviewed you like a year ago, but we're doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to chat through your story. You come to almost every single coaching call. So we chat once a week, which I love. And yeah, so now we're going to be able to dive in and share.
I'm active in those coaching calls, man.
Yep. And so now everyone's going to kind of get to hear your story from the beginning to where you are now. So I'm really excited about that. Now, you had a moment where you pushed your yourself away from your computer and you asked yourself, okay, what do I want out of my work life? Take us to that moment and how that led into your podcast management.
Right. This is when I was working in the 9-to-5 life. And, you know, as it turns out, my background in entertainment, the skills were transferable to customer service. So I had a lot of customer service jobs and a lot of customer service jobs working right here from home. And the last one was with Apple. And everyone in our group knows how I feel about Apple. Apple schmapple is what I usually say because I'm an Android person. But at the time that the COVID hit, every single solitary Apple store in the entire world, not just the nation, the entire world completely shut down. And I was a chat customer service. When in the beginning, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. I don't have to talk to anyone. But no, because I was getting like 6, 7, 8 chats all at the same time, all popping up on my computer. And that's when my eyes just kind of glazed over and I held the side of my desk, the edge of my desk. I pushed myself away. I went over to the wall and I pulled the plug right out of the wall. Everything went down. Of course, everything went black. I called the help desk and I said, I don't know what happened. Everything just went black. I have no idea. I'm so sorry. And I just sat at my desk and I wept just because I was so happy that I did that. And it was just the most stressful customer service. I mean, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, this is going to give me an opportunity here of just examining, what do I really want to do? I don't want to do this. That much I know. This is now, I'm now in a state of elimination. I've eliminated customer service from my, you know, realm.
Opportunities.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes.
List of opportunities. So,
and I remember years before there was this whole VA thing that I'm doing little quote signs with the VA thing. I thought, well, whatever happened to that idea? Maybe I should try and get into that. So I invested into a course, kind of an expensive one for me at the time, into a course. And I went through the curriculum and I got the business cards. I mean, I was there. I was doing it. I had not gotten my first client, but I was involved. And deep down, it just wasn't clicking with me. It just was still this square block in a round hole. It just wasn't clicking until she put in a tiny, tiny little module of podcast management. And I did that, and that's the spark. That's what lit my fire. And I knew that I had to find a more robust, more, you know, in-depth course on this podcast management, whatever that is, that's what I said at the time. Mm-hmm. And so that set me on a journey, and I found you and your course, and the rest is histoire, as they say.
Yeah. Now, I think that's so relatable that, number one, that you had this like, oh, yeah, there was that VA thing. You know, I think so many of us like have been there where it's like, is that real? Is that, you know, I looked into that. What happened to that? Who was that woman who was in the Facebook ad or whatever, right? And then, yeah, you get into it and you're like, okay, I'm moving and I'm putting one foot in front of the other and I'm putting a little bit of faith into this. But it just, the services weren't clicking. That I hear so often when people eventually find podcast management was like, oh, that was it. So I think like if there's VAs listening now that have just gotten to the point where they found podcast management, or maybe podcast management isn't that spark. It's so common to be like, I like this thing. I like this freelance thing, this virtual assistant thing, but I haven't found my thing yet. Give it some time. Explore so that you can find the right fit. Because I think if it's partially fitting but not fully, there's hope.
Yeah, it's just that the VA thing, it didn't feel like that far of a leap from customer service to me. Mm. And I wanted a big leap. I wanted to see that customer service thing in my rearview mirror. I didn't want to have anything to do with customer service. And the whole podcast management or producer thing, I really felt it gave me some authority that I didn't think that the VA thing gave me particularly. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then you joined the podcast manager program. You started off. Did you have any hesitancies? You felt really great about podcasting. You had that spark, but about podcast management, but did you have any fears of it working out, of your capabilities? Did anything come up early on?
Well, you know, when I talked to my husband about, well, this is what I'm going to do, you know, what, you've changed? What, we just bought cards, for God's sake. We just bought business cards. And I'm like, oh, is that the Holy Grail? I'm not sure if that was the meaning of the... I said, yeah, I've changed. And he said, well, you know, this is a man that has never heard a podcast. He doesn't know what a podcast is. He has no interest in podcasting. So for me to say, this is going to be my life now. Mm-hmm. It just flew over his head. And I knew right then that I wasn't really going to get the support that, you know, he supports me, but he does it from afar. Mm-hmm. He's not like into it. He doesn't ask me how, you know, how did my day go? How did the client go? He doesn't ask those little things. Mm-hmm. So I knew that the support system had to come from within the group. And that's what is so incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I think that is really relatable. Like sometimes it's that people in our lives don't know how to support and how to show up in this way. And of course, like just showing interest in somebody is the way to support them, but like they don't get it. And some people, whether it's, you know, a spouse or a parent or whoever, your friends, they need to see a little bit of movement before they can get on board.
Exactly.
Some people are like your number one hype woman. And that's kind of what the group is. It's like, yes, supporting from day one, from day zero even. But some people, especially in our real life, they haven't gone down the rabbit hole yet with us. And so they have to see you move. They have to see you have some wins. And so, but there's that in between time where you have to get going on your own and with a community that maybe you don't know for sure, you don't know in real life. So,
right.
So yeah, that was able to kind of get you past that early on stages.
Absolutely. It was, and it got me going.
Yeah. Now, I'd love you to take us to your first client. So how was it landing your first client?
Well, I want to back up just a little bit because I want to give a kudos to a fellow PMPer. And it was Christy Stebbleton is the one that gave me my first taste of what it was supposed to be like. She said, you know what? I'm kind of paring down what I do because I want to spend more time with my family. And I've got this person coming on. I think she wants to start a launch. So what if I do a subcontract with you and you do the work? She said, because she could recognize in me that I had the goods. I guess it was because of the questions that I was asking in the coaching calls or my participation in the coaching calls, perhaps is what gave her that, you know, that impression. So she subcontracted me. That was like my first gig. And it did wonders for my psyche. And that's why I have always said, and I'm keeping true to my word, that if I ever get in that position again, or if I ever get in that position, that I will pay it forward, that I will do the same thing for someone. So my first client actually came from, my first two clients actually came from a recommendation from Adam Scheible, who has a podcasting business school. He has the podcasting business school. And he has a thing called Pod Pals that I go to occasionally. And he reached out to me and said, look, I'm trying to phase out a part of my business. So I don't want to, you know, do the editing. I don't want to do the cover art. I don't want to do any of that stuff when launching people. So what if I subcontract you? Here we go with another subcontracting story again. And he said, you know, and the beauty is that you don't have to pay me any cut, but after the launch, you can say, okay, so if you want me to stay on and help you with this, here are my packages. And then it's just you and the client. I thought, well, God, what a great opportunity. So I did get, I got a launch through him. And then people have called him and said, you know, I need some podcast management. I need a producer. Who would you recommend? Two times he has recommended me, and both of those clients are, I'm still working with those clients. And the third client, I think I got because of a networking situation that I was in, a virtual networking situation. So yeah, that first client, when I was so scared during the discovery call, I think I did everything wrong, but luckily she is a business coach. And so she recognized something in me. I think a lot of it has to do with the name of my business. And, you know, it's hard to be a wallflower when your business is called Mouthy Broad Media. You know, it's hard to pretend that you, you know, sink into the woodwork. So I've learned a lot from her just on the business end of it. And it's been a ride. It's been quite a ride.
Yeah. Now, I think some of what we can learn from your approach is that you showed people in a lot of different capacities that you were eager. You raised your hand and you're like, hey, I'm here now. I'm doing this thing. I'm in this world.
Right.
Like Christy, who you mentioned, you know, on discovery call or on our weekly coaching calls, you showed up and said, hey, I'm here now. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to ask questions. One question I get a lot from other people, from new students and new podcast managers is like, how do I'm nervous to like put myself out there on social media. And although social media plays a big role in a lot of our businesses, it's more than that. It's showing up to different calls, different opportunities, going on to, other groups that you're in and things like that. And saying like, again, just like saying, hey, I'm here. You don't have to have anything useful to say even in the beginning, right? In the beginning, you probably don't have much to say.
Right.
Besides, hi.
Just kind of lurk. You're in the background. You're lurking. You're getting the feel for the room. And, you know, you're going to go on that vibe a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so I definitely see that in you is like you show up. And that, again, that doesn't mean you always have like a scripted thing to say or something really, yeah, whatever, but you show up. And I think that I can definitely see how that has led to your success. Now, how do you feel like you were able to land that relationship with Adam? Is it that same thing of just showing up, or do you think that there was something else that you were doing to help?
You know, I think it was, I don't know. Once I do start speaking, I am, it's I was in the entertainment business for a long time. I was a professional jazz singer. And so maybe that persona comes into it where, mm-hmm, you know, I'm like balls to the walls and here I am. And, you know, whatever I say, it comes out of my pie hole and let's all live with it. So, and sometimes it's acceptable. Sometimes it's not.
Right. And that is the brand of Mouthy Broad.
There you go. Exactly.
So there we go. There we go.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you chose Mouthy Broad Media, and it is a really an essence of who you are. So you're not trying to be more professional than you need to be. You're not trying to be, I don't know, aesthetically pleasing or something. Yeah. You found a name and a brand energy that matched who you are when you show up to calls.
Yeah.
Who you are.
Yes. Yeah. So when people come to me, it's automatically that they're thinking she must be in my tribe because look at the name of her business, for God's sake. You know, she must be part of my tribe. So I've got that. I don't have that hurdle to go over to see to that touchy-feely kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like something that's already built in that I know when they come to me that they know me, what it's about.
Yeah, you already have something in common because if they didn't love the idea of Mouthy Broad Media, maybe if they found that like offensive or something, then they're not gonna reach out in the first place. At the same time, though, one of your clients I know is a doctor. And so it's not you're only attracting non-professionals or something. It's like, it's more of a personality connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has a podcast called Pediatric Meltdown, probably the most successful one that I work on. She is just starting to monetize. She's taken a back seat because she sits on the board of the American Pediatrics Academy, and she's so scared of monetizing anything in her podcast for fear it's going to conflict with her position on the board. Mm-hmm. So we've figured out a way, that we're working on that now. So it's an interesting, there's going to be like a little capsule series having to do with her consulting work. And so we're trying to do it through that.
Love that. And hey, we can give props to anyone who's trying to do things the ethical way.
Yeah.
it's a great thing to see in 2024. Yeah. Now, you are next level with your education, your self-education. You love learning. You take the forever learner idea. Like, no, yeah, just you love to
learn. That's my safe space.
Yeah, yeah. So how have you been able to do that, to always be learning something new and you know, buying a new app and all this, and managing your client load also making money, building your business? How have you managed those two things?
Well, now that's interesting because my MO is that I will purchase a course and then it will sit very prominently on a Trello board that I have yet to crack open. So I have a Trello board with a list of courses that I haven't really dove into yet. Some I'll do, like when I get a couple of days off, like right now I'm ahead in my work. So I can take a couple of days off. Now feels like a good time that I can crack open that YouTube course that I've been looking at, you know? So I kind of wait for moments like that. And also, my sleeping habit is kind of weird. You know, I'm in my 60s. Okay. That's old.
And it's young.
We old people don't really sleep, you know, really very good. So it's very common for me to be up at 3:30 in the morning with my tablet, looking at a course, looking at, you know, taking a module here and there. So that's kind of a common thing.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, you're making use of your time. Then you're not sitting there telling yourself, I should be sleeping, which obviously doesn't help.
Exactly.
So you're, and you know, I think for the opposite spectrum, like the young mom who's listening, they're like, I'm also up at 3 a.m. feeding a baby.
Yeah.
So I also need something to do to keep, in their case, they're trying to keep themselves awake. So, hey, you can crack open a new course, learn something new, 3:30.
There you go.
Probably dream about it if you go back to sleep.
Oh my God. Yeah, exactly.
So you feel like you've just been able to find times, little nooks and crannies of your when you get ahead that you can.
Right. Some of the marketing on these courses are so good. And I have I have FOMO. I have a case of FOMO, fear of missing out. And oh my God, it's never going to be at this price ever again. I better get it. And I'm sure that I'm going to open it sometime. And so, you know, I swoop it up.
Yeah.
And then it goes on my Trello board.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, as long as you're getting to like most of them, I feel like that's a success.
Yeah.
You're shopping the sales.
There you go.
Hey, before we continue with this episode, I wanted to ask you something. If there was a way that you could make $5,000 per month as a podcast manager without taking on a million clients, is that something that you'd be interested in? If so, I have great news for you. We have a brand new masterclass that teaches you how you can make $5,000 per month as a podcast manager without taking on a million clients. In this class, we are covering the skills and the systems that every podcast manager needs to know to land high-paying clients so that you can make $5,000 per month and beyond. You'll also learn the mistakes that I was making and I see podcast managers continue to make that keep them from profit. So if you are nodding your head, yes, tell me more, Lauren, then go to laurenwrighton.com/masterclass to get a seat in the masterclass this week. You can find that link in the show notes. I'll see you there. Now, do you feel like you said that that was your safe, that education was your safe space? How have you been able to, you know, take what you know? You have a whole list of things you don't know. And those are the courses that you haven't opened. And we all have that list in our heads of, oh my gosh, I haven't looked into this. I can't help my client with monetization yet, whatever. We have that list of things we don't know. And it can be daunting and hold us back from putting ourselves out there. So how have you been able to say, okay, I know enough that I can help somebody?
You know, it is like, you know, a lot of my analogies have to do with food. So here we go. So when you're in the kitchen, some people are terrible cooks, but there's one dish that they are experts at. Mm. Like my cousin, she can't cook worth nothing, but she makes a mean carbonara sauce. And that's the only thing she does. And she's happy with, I mean, she's an expert in that. Everyone comes to her and says, what's that recipe? And it makes her feel so good. So a lot of it is, you know, this is what I know and what I don't know. I'm going to go to the expert to find out this one little piece to put in that puzzle of my jumbled little head. There's a piece missing and I've got to find that little puzzle piece. And that's what it is. So for me right now, my biggest challenge is analytics. That's my biggest challenge right now. I need to learn how to read the analytics on Captivate, to be specific, Captivate. You know, what each little number means, what each little graph means, what each word means, because they don't mean the same things in the dictionary that, you know, the podcast dictionary and Webster's.
Or other hosts.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's two different things. So that's my challenge right now. And if you know your challenge, a lot of times people, the challenges are so overwhelming. What do you know? I don't know what I know, you know, that kind of thing. But in this instance, I know that I do not know analytics. And that's part of the thing is that you just need to know what it is that you don't know. Be specific about it. And then it's so much easier to zero in on it, you know?
Yeah. And I think too, in what you just said, it's getting good at one thing, getting your carbonara, like find that one thing that you can learn first. Okay. Now you know that one thing and it can be, it can be hard to choose that one thing, right? for us podcast managers, though, it's editing and writing show notes. If you can nail down those skills, or, you know, learn them, period.
Like right? The foundation, like the house foundation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the foundation. And then you can say, but part of that is like this internal confidence of knowing, I've got time to learn this. It doesn't have to be, I didn't need to know it yesterday. Okay. I can just put it on the to-do list and get it done eventually. I love that analogy with food, though, because like for a certain period of time, you might be eating the same thing every night.
That's right.
You only have one recipe, and that's okay. That's what you're doing, your one thing.
It's a damn good recipe, but it's every night.
Yeah. And eventually you'll learn other skills, but
that's right.
Give yourself time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I really like that. I think that's really helpful. Okay. So you shared that you were working customer service, you were working at home. Now that you have been a podcast manager, what's something specific that you could share with us that you've been able to do now in your personal life or maybe in your daily life that you weren't able to do as a former customer service of Apple?
Well, you know, I have the customer service life where I was not working at home. I had to go to the workplace. And then I have the customer service experience of working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that clock in, whether it's actually a 9-to-5 or just an 8-hour gig that you're doing, the eye is always on you. You know, you always have people lurking in, especially with the cameras now. They can actually see you. My boss could see me if I was working, if I was holding my cat and talking to the person at the same time, or, you know, I couldn't do that on chat because I would have to type. But it just feels like I'm really the queen of my domain now. Mm. It's bringing it all together. And I think a lot of that has to do with age. I'm not sure if, you know, when I was younger, I don't think I was ready to be the queen of my domain. Now that I'm older, a little bit more seasoned, and I have the feeling of, I deserve this now. You know, I have put in my dues, and now it's time to, you know, make a deposit. Now it's time to make a withdrawal, I mean. So, maybe that has to, I've just come into myself a little bit more.
Yeah, it's like, earlier on, you were okay with someone telling you, hey, you need to show up at 8 a.m., whether it's up at your computer or, you know.
And by the way, your shoes are wrong. Go back home and change your shoes.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Right. And, oh, you know, the pants that you wear to work are now dirty.
Exactly.
And you need to leave in, 20 minutes. Like, oh, all those things.
Everything.
Right. Yeah. But now it's like, gosh, I just want to, like, you still want to work. You still want to be productive in this way. But yeah, it's like you can work on your own time and take a break when you want, whenever you want. You know, take a nap or
But a lot of it has to do with, I was working for someone else's success. When I worked for Home Shopping Network, I was a customer service for their success. When I worked for Apple, I was a customer service for their success. Now it's on me. This is my ballpark, and everything I do is for my own success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that sometimes feel burdensome, or does it always feel like, oh, I'm feel great about that?
I feel great about that. I feel great about that. Never a burden.
Yeah. Love that. Now, you know, whenever you first came into the podcast manager program, I could tell that you were in it for the long haul. And I really love seeing that because I want to see every student of mine be successful. And so when I see someone come in so hot and need it to be successful on day one, that type of pressure, honestly, it's tough on me because I'm like, I want you to be successful, but I feel like you're
putting the cart before the horse,
a cart before the horse for sure. So do you feel like that has contributed to your success, is that you've had kind of a long game?
I'm not sure. I knew from taking that tiny little module in that VA course, I knew from that second that this is where I needed to be for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm in my 60s. So the rest of my life, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so I needed to, get comfy. I needed to set up house in it and get the comfy chairs and the pillows and everything and just get comfy to where I was at and know that, you know, a lot of it is, I kind of thought that it's like losing weight. The quicker you lose the weight, I always feel like it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So there goes all your success. So taking the time to learn, and, you know, I'm addicted to podcasts on podcasting. God knows I've subscribed to a ton of them, and picking out the ones and listening every day to, I call it my classroom, listening every day to podcasts on podcasting and the newsletters. I'm kind of addicted to podcasting newsletters. I think we have a theme here.
Yeah, we're noticing something.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it has to do with just being able, I was able to really dive in. Mm. Now, look, I'm lucky. I have a husband who works, and I am not sure that I would be able to do this if I had a 9-to-5er and I'd still have, you know, this, trying to do this on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I would be able to do it. But I have a very patient husband who still doesn't know anything about podcasting, but he's like, yeah, let her do it.
Yeah. So, you need to bring him to one of like your in-person networking events.
Oh, yeah. That'll be joyful. Yeah. Let's see how that works.
He'll see you in your element.
He's looking around for a football game and a beer. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah. So I think that's a great thing to point out, though, is like there's a luxury, there's a privilege in taking it slow. And so, you know, some people don't have that privilege. They like, you know, if you're a teacher and you're out for the summer and you got to get this ramped up. I get it. And I think you can still have the long game approach, knowing that you've got to hit certain benchmarks, certain financial benchmarks, in a timely manner, but you can still have that long approach of, again, I don't have to know everything from day one and I can grow. These are the immediate goals, but then I can have a longer term vision of where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why the coaching calls are so great, because even if I'm not having an issue that's being talked about, I know that I will sooner or later. It's coming down the pike. Because if so-and-so, because if there's three people in the room that are having this issue, then I'm sure going to be having this issue too. So I better pay attention. That's one of the reasons why I love those coaching calls so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And being able to see what other people are doing, because since we are, you know, solopreneurs, maybe we have subcontractors, maybe not, but we're, all of our ideas are coming from our domain, whether it's things that we're listening, watching, whatever, but being able to see what other people are doing, you're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Now, I'd love to know where you are going with your business. So we're recording this in February of 2024. What's your vision for maybe this year, the next 6 months?
I want to scale. I want to scale. I want to be an agency. And I keep promising myself just one more client. That's going to be my, you know, that's God's way of telling me, okay, time to scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's hard to let go. You know, I have a specific way of editing. I have a specific way of doing show notes. And by the way, I purchase all these programs in order for me to do it quickly and the best. And then half of my brain is like, but you're going to be scaling. You're going to be, mm-hmm. you know, shopping this out to other people. So you need to stop buying programs.
Yeah.
You need to stop. But they're just like little gifts that I like to unwrap a little
right.
bit.
Just gift yourself. It's like,
yeah,
like getting on Amazon and buying yourself a new robe, but it's a course.
That's right. So I do want to scale. I want to be an agency. That's where I want to go. And like I said, just one more client and I'll be there.
And you'll be there. Yeah. So are you going to use that next client, like you said, as like your indicator? Okay, we're doing this. So are you then going to bring someone on with a subcontractor on with that new client?
I believe that's the way I'm going to go. I've had a lot of time to think about it and I've tossed all these scenarios in my head. And I do think that's the way I'm going to go. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to hear about that. Cannot wait for you to have some people under your belt and and be able to train. I imagine too that, you know, you could have your, instead of you going through the course, you could have somebody else go through the course so that you still feel like we're adding this to Mouthy Broad Media, but you don't have to go through it. And you can, let yourself believe you can if you get there. But yeah, you could have someone on your team that just go through courses for you.
Exactly. you. My alter egos.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. love that. DR, before we go, we can't leave this interview without bringing up AI, because one of your researching rabbit holes is AI, and you're almost like community resident on AI in PMP. So for someone who maybe they feel like behind the eight ball when it comes to AI, they're like, I know I need to look into it, but I don't want to. Ugh. What piece of advice do you have for them regarding AI?
Yeah. So there are a lot of people that say, oh, no, I hate AI. I don't want to have anything to do with AI. But, you know, that's like saying, I hate oranges, so I'm never going to eat an apple again. You know, it's in the fruit family, but they're completely different. So when it comes to using AI for the tasks that we have to do as podcast managers and producers, you know, AI will go and scrub the internet for information. And that's where sometimes the copyright infringement laws are coming into play. But when we're using it, when I'm using it, what it's scrubbing is the episode that I have just put into it. So it's not scrubbing the entire internet. It's just scrubbing that 30-minute or however long episode. So the information is coming directly from the source, basically, the A number one source. And so don't be scared of it. And just know, and I hear a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I did it, but the output wasn't so good. So what I do is that if I need 4 bullet points, I'll ask for 6 bullet points. I'll ask AI to give me 6 bullet points. That forces me to go in and give that human touch that everyone says, well, you got to go in and you got to touch it. You do got to touch it up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will just put click and copy paste. That's not good. Mm-hmm. So if you ask for more than what you need, it forces me to go in and eliminate 2 things that I don't want in there. Maybe change a word that I see. Maybe take the end of one sentence and the beginning of another and put those together. So it just gives you, you know, here we go with the food stuff again. It gives you the right ingredients to make this, you know, show note. You
extravaganza.
Know, So, yeah, don't be afraid.
Yeah. And I like that tip of, you know, most of us know you got to put that final human touch on it. But if you, especially if you have, if you struggle with just coming up with things based off the episode, like you have that kind of writer's block, then that can really help just get you some ingredients, get the ingredients on the table. Okay, now let's piece them together into something that's really great. And don't expect, and the thing is, some of these podcast specific AIs are really selling, like, your show notes are going to be done in 5 minutes. It's like, okay, let's take it back a notch. We can use it and it can be worth it to use, but it's not, doesn't mean that we're going to just plug in, show notes done. Okay.
Right.
Move on.
What it does is it cuts the research time down for me. Mm-hmm. And if I just have all premium ingredients in front of me, then it's up to me of how to use those ingredients. I'm going to use more of this than less of that. And, you know, I'm going to mix those 2 things together. So that's what it's playing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Love that. And I think that's going to help some of us listening that are like, okay, yep, I've been afraid. Now, okay, let's take it a step further. If they are like, okay, I'm going to look into an AI this week. I know this might be hard for you to answer, but what's one AI that you would recommend them look into?
Okay. There's actually 2. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. I start out with Cast Magic. Cast Magic is great, and it's updating all the time. It doesn't update as much as Descript, like every single solitary 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it does update often. And then I also go gravitate towards something called Kateb, K-A-T-T-E-B, Kateb. And they have it to where you can put your, for instance, what I do is I take the transcript, I bust it up into like four separate pieces. Mm-hmm. And I take each piece, I have a URL because it's a Google Doc. Mm-hmm. And the URL is there for like piece number one. Mm-hmm. I'll put the URL into Kateb. And then I will do this massive prompt to give me the best bullet points and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. So Cast Magic and Kateb, either of those or both of them in one workflow. If you haven't looked into either of those, then check that out this week.
And I tell people in the group all the time, if you need me to take you, you know, backstage on any of my AI things, I will do that. We will share a screen. Mm-hmm. I'll show you what I do. I'll show you my prompts. So anyone, I invite anyone to contact me and I will gladly do that for them.
So kind. It's so helpful. Honestly, like when we're living in our own little world at our own little computer, it's so helpful to chat with someone and be able to just like, hey, just show me how to do this real quick. And then I'll have to
absolutely
watch all these YouTube videos and all of this. Now, speaking of that, how can people find you and see what your future agency, follow your future agency?
Well, my website is mouthybroadmedia.com and my email is just mouthybroadmedia@gmail.com. So contact me. Let's do it.
Yes.
I'll take you backstage to some of these fun little things that I got going on all my Trello boards.
Just contact her and say, what interesting thing do you have to show me today? And
she'll
be something podcast manager.
That's right. Program du jour. What is it?
Yeah. DR, this has been so great. Thank you so much for sharing so many tangible things and, you know, some mindset stuff for everybody. I know this is going to be helpful to those listening. So thank you so much for being here.
I've had a great time. I can't believe that after all these many years of, well, not many, 2 years of listening to success stories that I'm actually here. It's so great. Thank you so much.
Love it. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind Facebook group. And let me know what you liked about this episode. I love, love, love hearing your guys' feedback and what is resonating with you. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in the show over at laurenwrighton.com. Special thanks to my amazing podcast manager, Marcy Page, on producing this episode. All right, that's it. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.